You're listening to Irish Radio Canada's Home and Abroad, and I'm sitting with Adrian Convery, and he is the responsible for the development of CDE North America, which takes in Canada. And we're going to find out a little bit about what CDE does and what their footprint is in extending into Canada and the relationship. Adrian, thanks a million for taking a little bit of time.
Thank you, Austin.
First of all, CDE, what is and the CDE group? Who, what, where, when?
Yep, so CDE started 1992. We've been selling across the world, primarily sand and gravel operations, so aggregates industry, washing equipment, you know, for producing in-spec aggregates for construction.
Right.
We go across a few sectors, primarily, the sand and gravel industry, natural processing, but we also do waste recycling. So waste recycling would encompass soil recycling, contaminated soils, even PFAS contaminated soils is a big emerging one. Hydro-excavation waste, which is wet soils, which is very popular in Canada in particular. We also do the likes of specialist sands, which could be anything from your golf course sand to frac sand, silica sand, anything like that. And then we're into the water treatment industry. We do a few screens for that. Like I said, primarily, especially for Canada, the main markets that we see are the natural sand and gravel and also the waste recycling markets.
Aside from the waste recycling at the moment, but let's talk sand and gravel. And why would a Northern Ireland company be in sand and gravel in Canada when you would consider that there's enough kind of earth and everything else around about, and you would think that Canadian firms would have been in this field for a long time. How did you guys see an opportunity, and what kind of an opportunity emerged?
Yeah, it's I guess it would be quite difficult for North American equipment suppliers to compete with the Irish equipment suppliers just because of the cost of manufacturing here, but also the quality of equipment here. So Ireland, Northern Ireland has a long history of very good manufacture and fabrication. You know, you look back Harland and Wolff, all the shipyards and like really good welders and everything around here. So equipment manufacturing has been bread and butter for especially Northern Ireland for 50-60 years. And you look at any of the equipment suppliers, a lot of them do come from Northern Ireland. Some people call it the Silicon Valley of material processing.
Right.
So a lot of it comes from here.
So we're talking heavy engineering, effectively.
Pretty much, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So your raw materials were iron and steel.
Exactly.
So import.
Importing into Canada, and we would sell.
No, but I'm saying the raw materials you're importing.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you're importing those from somewhere like Canada.
No, sorry. We would get the steel from Wales.
Okay.
So it's just British steel. And we just manufacture using that. We fabricate the equipment that then processes the sand and gravel in Canada.
Right.
So say, for example, there's a quarry in Canada, that's producing all the concrete sand, whatever sort of stone that you need, different types of aggregates, rain and stone, whatever. Our equipment would actually process that, to make it. So say you can't just go digging out of a quarry and then use that as concrete sand. You have to process it in some form.
Okay.
So you have to remove fines, like clay. So if you have too much clay in your concrete sand, it's just going to break. So, there's limits in what you can do there. Our equipment effectively washes that out. So
what's fascinating with this is where I live is a huge quarry.
Mm-hmm.
Just down the road.
That's a lead for me, maybe.
Might be.
Yeah.
It used to be Lafarge, and it was another company that changed names recently.
Amrise.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've sold projects with Amrise all across the world. So Lafarge is obviously the the holding company, or like the main company, Holcim, based out of Switzerland, and then Amrize is the new name for the North American division. So, so they spun off on the New York Stock Exchange recently.
I just know I was driving up one day that there was a different name on the gate. But it's a huge quarry. But you know, being outside the gate, you have no clue what's going on inside the gate.
Yeah.
And as you're saying it, there is. Yeah, I knew there was rock in there, and I see trucks coming out with what I would see as primarily product that's going to go into road building, or they also have a ready mix type business there.
Yeah.
But what you're telling me is, like, when they do their blasting and the rock comes away, after that, then the process starts of that is going to turn that rock into numerous different products.
Exactly, which would use our equipment to wash that material.
Right.
Yeah. So whether it's crusher, we wouldn't do crushers, but you know, we would definitely take crushed material in some of our processes, and you know, we wash that into, you know, multiple different stages, so three different stones, four different stones, two different sands.
Okay, you use the term wash. What does that mean?
Just basically using water. So there's two, you know, you can have dry equipment to sort and separate, or you can use water to also wash the equipment. So, or wash the material, sorry. So imagine you have a quarry where there's a very high amount of clay, and it becomes a very sticky material.
Yeah.
If you put that over a rinsing screen, or even just a dry screen, it's not going to do much, but a rinsing screen will do a little bit more by, you know, using high pressure water.
Yeah, yeah.
But you can also scrub the material, so you can use you know, log washers, which we call ours, the Agmax. So it basically has two large shafts, lots of paddles on each shaft, and it it agitates the material, so as the stone moves through, it rubs against each other, breaks down clay balls, really cleans the material. It can even float off organics. So if you have a, say, you know, say you had a high organic feed material, which would be highly prevalent in the waste recycling, we can remove organics as well, and then you can reuse all those materials.
Does the raw material make any difference to equipment? So given the whether it be limestone or sandstone or
It does, yeah, really just on throughput and, you know, what equipment you need then to turn that into the output that you need. So every project we do is unique. Effectively, that we would go to a customer, look at their material, we would even run some analysis, so we would do particle size distribution to see how much stone, how much sand, how much clay, and if, you know, one has more clay than the other, we might need to do multiple stage washing to remove all of that clay. If one material is stickier than the other, we might need that attrition, like we talked about.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, it just depends, really.
Right.
Yeah.
So, how long do you guys been in the North American and the Canadian market?
We've been selling into the North American market probably, I want to say, since 2011. I think was the first. Officially, we really moved into North America in 2014. We set up a headquarters in North Carolina, in Raleigh. And then we effectively moved to Cleburne in Texas, just out of Dallas-Fort Worth. We were doing a lot of business in Texas. It's a really good market for us, especially for sand and gravel. It's a booming market, so it just made sense to relocate there. I think we probably have maybe 70 or 80 projects now across North America.
And the reason I ask is the Euros, like, what were they doing before you arrived?
They were using other equipment. There's various ways of processing the material.
Yeah, yeah.
There are American suppliers.
Yeah, yeah.
They're using sort of traditional equipment like sand screws, you know, material washers that just maybe not be as efficient, but they work, but they maybe just aren't as efficient as the newer technology coming out of Europe. So it's really taken off in North America.
So then, crossing into Canada, when did you make that transition to start getting some business there?
Canada might have even came before America, so it did. So there's been a right few projects in Canada now, and I've been focusing on Canada probably since 2019, 2020, and we have projects pretty much from east to west now, multi-province. So yeah, we're doing quite well in Canada now. There was never a big focus on Canada, you know, like someone dedicated to Canada.
Yeah.
There's people who are doing North America, but they would look at Canada periodically, and as, you know, inquiries came in, we would look at them, but yeah, then 2019 we realized that there was a good market there, and I started to focus on that.
Right, and it's paying off.
It's good, yeah. We quite a lot of large projects in Canada,
right.
All the way from BC to Ontario. So
fantastic.
Yeah, it's doing good.
So then let's talk recycling.
Mm-hmm.
So the recycling process is always fascinates me. I state that, you know, we put the blue box out, we put the black box out, and mm-hmm. we're told to put certain things in where. And I would love at some stage to kind of walk to a recycling plant to see how everything gets processed and what comes out at the other end.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you wonder. Just being human, is this kind of smoke and mirrors, or is it genuinely helping? And if it's helping, what is the output of all the crap that is the input?
Yeah, yeah. It's actually really funny. The amount of people we would hear that from is crazy. So we do a lot of marketing videos of our systems, and you know, it cuts in and out, but the customers see the real dirty crap excavated material going into the system, and then they see all this nice clean stone and clean sand coming out,
right.
And they say, oh, that's just, you know, you've cut away in that video and you've started putting something nice in, you know, to make a nice material come out. So you almost need to get people to walk through the system,
yeah.
to understand that this really crappy material that's going in is actually producing, you know, in-spec materials that can be reused to make concrete or whatever. So, we have systems up to like 250 ton per hour that are taking excavated soils, contaminated soils,
right.
which would have went to landfill. So, for example, we have a customer in Calgary in Alberta, where before they were driving maybe 150 kilometers to the landfill,
yeah.
to take material from the city. So say they were going to build a new high-rise building, or they were developing a hospital or whatever, whenever they excavate that land at the start, that material just would have had to go to landfill. And especially if it was a contaminated land, if there was an oil or whatever in the land, they would need to take that to a contaminated landfill that can accept that. And it was about 150 kilometers away, so a 300 kilometer round trip. And each truck can hold, you know, 20, 25 tons of whatever it is of excavated soil, and maybe do, you know, double load or double trailer. But you can imagine how many thousands of trucks per year was driving to the landfill, just dumping it and driving back. So first of all that good stone, all that good sand is being wasted in the landfill, but also the carbon emissions of those trucks,
yep.
you know, for 300 kilometers was crazy. So they actually got a grant for $8 million to pay for half of the system,
yeah.
Because of the amount of carbon that they were going to save, and that was done through the Emissions Reduction Alberta,
yeah.
the name of the fund. That was great to see, you know, because it has such a positive impact on the environment. But yeah, they're taking all that material now that would have went to landfill, and they're making concrete sand, which can, you know, be used for new construction
projects. Again, going back to what I said earlier on about different stones, likewise with different contaminants, how you would process and dispose of the outflow from different contaminants, whether it be oil, whether it be chemicals,
yeah.
whether it be other type of... that you could end up with hazardous waste then, so that somewhere else goes along the process somewhere else.
Yeah, generally we wouldn't really get into hazardous waste. We do different projects, yeah, but the contaminated soils would probably just go more into, like, there's usually, especially in Ontario, it's called tables, and there's like various tables for depending on how contaminated it is. But really, whenever we're treating the contaminated soil, there's two things that we're focusing on. It's soluble contamination and insoluble. So
mm-hmm.
soluble that goes into the water,
mm-hmm.
and then you treat the water to remove those contaminants, and then you've got insoluble, which obviously aren't going to go into the water, so you need to either remove it or localize it into one of the fractions. So the way the system will work then is, if we scrub all the material and clean the material, like clean the stone and scrub the sand, clean the sand, remove organics, whatever, generally the contamination will end up in the clay, in the, mm-hmm. the finest fraction, which is generally a waste anyway. You know, the clay is probably the least valuable for now anyway, but so the contamination will get localized there, and that's going to go to landfill anyway. But what you've done is, say the clay is 20 to 30% of the feedstock, you've now taken 100% material that was contaminated, and now all you're left with is a 20 or 30% contaminated mm-hmm. material. Mm-hmm. So you've actually recovered mm-hmm. 70% recycling rate.
So the customer in some of these cases would be contractors, some of it would be municipalities, some of it would be provinces, some could be federal. So you would be at multiple levels of...
Exactly. It could be anyone, could PLCs, but yeah, generally we've had a lot of success with private contractors who have a yard for recycling, but also the likes, like you mentioned, Amrize, Lafarge, like those sort of PLCs that have quarries that are also taking in soil and will ultimately be interested in the outputs. So they'd be interested in recovering that sand, recovering that stone and reusing that within their wider operations.
Right. So then how transportable is the equipment? Because, you know, on one level it sounds like this is a major factory operation, but yet of its nature, the whole value of not having to drive trucks 150 kilometres, the nature of any construction project is it could be 20 kilometres down the road today and 20 kilometres the other way the next day.
Yeah.
Is it possible with your equipment that you're able to move it in on site so that they're able to function within for a major project?
For a major project, maybe, but the equipment's that large that it just wouldn't be cost effective to
okay.
do so.
Okay.
And then generally these contractors are working on multiple projects at once, so
right.
it's how you choose. And then if you were to move it from site to site, you would need permits and you need the water and everything.
Okay.
So it's actually easier just to set it up, you know, within the city or in the outskirts of the city. Basically, as long as you're closer than the landfill,
you can
compete with that landfill.
Right.
So generally, the vast majority of our waste recycling plants would be located within the city.
Okay. So from an employment point of view, then, what this would be helping generate is certainly employment here in Northern Ireland.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
And then a service and support mm-hmm. staff and team.
Exactly, yeah. So, yeah, ultimately, yeah, Northern Ireland, we have 600 people around the world, and of that 600, I think around 350 to 400 are in Northern Ireland, and then we have satellite teams around the world. So, like I mentioned, the office in Cleburne, Texas, we have maybe 30 or 40 people there. Within that team, ultimately, some of the people will be moving around, but like you said, yeah, that'll be guys going to Ontario, guys going to British Columbia, guys going to New York, California, wherever, to service the equipment, to install the equipment, commission it, optimize it, even sales guys as well. So guys that are just traveling around looking for new projects. So it's a big industry for employment here in Ireland.
Yes, mm-hmm. Fascinating. Adrian, it's been fascinating in every respect, learning about this, and hopefully the business continues to expand and grow in Canada. Yes, it's been fascinating, and I want to thank you for taking the time and sharing it with us.
I really appreciate it, Austin. Thanks for the interest.
Yes, well, thank you.